All right, nice to have you with us this morning. You know, we have our contest going, Original Joe's Dinner for Two. Just guess the score of today's game. Tweet it into Baseball Marty. And I always put on the tweet, where are you listening today? So this is just a partial list. Vallejo, Petaluma, Utah, Soledad, Rockland, L.A., Placerville, Fresno, Savannah, Georgia, Leona Humphreys, good morning. France, Colorado, Arizona, New York, England, Anaheim Hills, Turlock, Texas, Sacramento, Las Vegas, Corning, and Woodland. And with that, we will bring in Mark Simon from Sports Info Solutions. And Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, good morning, Mark. How are you?
Bonjour. I'm doing quite well. Hi to your listener in Paris. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, people all over the country. It's just amazing that the strength of Giants baseball and baseball in general. But what a weekend it has been, and I think that we start today with you. This is game 162. It is Logan Webb, and I hope I pronounce his name correctly, Reese Nehr, K-N-E-H-R, for San Diego. This looks like somewhat of a mismatch, but I want to hear the numbers from you first.
Yeah, there are a few mismatches, I think, that are going on today in these meaningful 162nd games. For Logan Webb, I think we've done it more than enough time. Key for him is the slider and the changeup. Last two starts, slider hasn't been the super dominant, I think, that it typically has been this year. It's like been like a 50% strike pitch when it's like 70% for him, like 15 out of 20, 14 out of 20. You know, 18 out of 26, something like that. He's usually in pretty good shape. This guy for San Diego, it's pretty simple. The Giants, in theory, should have a good day against him because he has trouble throwing strikes. The changeup, which he likes to throw a decent amount, is rarely a strike. And if the Giants spit on it, as they have done for 161 games, I think they'll be all right. I don't, you know, you would hope that they're not pressing today. This is in their hands. And ideally, they just finish it off in a game that on the face of it, they should have the advantage for sure in the starting pitcher matchup.
Oh, terrific. I just got a nice text from Rennell. Love you, Rennell, and she's a Hall of Famer. Reese Kinnear. All right, Kinnear. Reese Kinnear. I got it. Thank you, Rennell. Love you. All right, so but he doesn't throw strikes. And as I said in my open, that's the big thing for me. The Giants just have to be patient today. What do you think about how this whole thing is unfolding? They get the Padres yesterday. The Brewers are going nuts, you know, trying to figure out just rest people. And the Dodgers, 17 homers in four games. Quite a National League West, isn't it?
Yeah. They're really – this is basically unprecedented. I've seen the stat today about two teams, same division, 105 wins. I think the thing that it is it's a testament to how amazing the Dodgers are that the Giants have basically had everything go right for 160 games. I'm taking opening day out of the mix because that was terrible. Like, you couldn't have asked for more from the Giants in 160 games, and they haven't clinched the division. That's ridiculous. I think if the Giants had been like the 80-win Giants this year, we would probably be saying that like this Dodgers team is one of the all-time best. They're fantastic. With the Giants, we don't necessarily say that because so many guys have kind of reached for the stars this year. But it really is, it's amazing. I hope this isn't one of those Billy Bean scenarios, my stuff doesn't work in the playoffs kind of situation, because I think this team kind of needs to be remembered. You don't want them to be like the 2001 Mariners or something like that.
Let's bring in Bill Lasky. Bill, good morning. Quite a day ahead of us.
It sure is, Marty. Good morning to you and Mark. You know, Marty and Mark, both of you guys, you know, when you get down to the final game, you know, analytics show you the way, they show you the path. But it's really about relaxation. It's about finding yourself, blowing everything away from you and just concentrating on the moment. I want to ask Mark, you know, when you get into these scenarios, Mark, the rookies fail most of the time or the veterans kind of step up?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know that I necessarily have that in front of me. I think the track record tends to come through. Whatever your, I think with veterans, I think your track record guys step up in the big game. This is a significant anecdotal reach, but like Robin Yount, two homers on the last day of the 82 season to win the division for the Brewers. Last night, Mitch Haniger, who's had a terrific season for Seattle, gets five RBIs in game 161 to push them ahead. And then I'm sorry to bring his name up, but I think of Solomon Torres and him not getting the job done for the Giants in game 162. You do never know, though. And I thought, for example, I thought the Red Sox have looked really, really tight the last 2 days. And I think they were very fortunate to be playing a Nationals team that just, other than Soto, doesn't have the skills to compete so that they could get two wins. I would think that given the Giants' history and the guys that are the leaders on the team have been through it so many times before that I don't think you have to worry about this team being tight today. That's what I would hope.
I agree with you. Logan Webb, this is the biggest start of his life, but boy, he's won nine straight and he's just been fabulous. He's been fabulous, what, for 2-3 months now?
Easily, and I tell you what, that's the thing, Marty, you had talked about it on your open. This is a learning point for him. He's got to relax, and but Buster Posey behind the plate and these veterans on the infield, they're going to get him to relax. And when he does, we know he's got wipeout stuff. So it's really, every time I talk about it, it's the first inning for starters. And I'll go back to Mark with this. Mark, when you watch pitchers in these tight games, what do you see in the analysis of these starters? What happens in these first innings that make them 1-2-3 innings or they struggle?
That's a, you're asking me questions that I feel like should be asked to like a major league manager. I think that the telling thing for a young pitcher in a game like this will be the pitches, the overthrowing of pitches. I feel like you see it a lot from guys that when things aren't things, the moment's a little big for them. You see a lot of high fastballs that aren't like non-competitive. If I was going to keep a stat today on young pitchers trying to win big games, I would be looking for non-competitive pitches and how that compared to how they were during the regular season. Because there's chases and then there's non-competitives, and you want to avoid the non-competitives and get the chases. Logan's done that for like 20 starts in a row, just asking him to get one more today.
Yeah, and Kinnear is a different story, and I'll put the over-under 35 pitches for him in the first inning, which is what the Giants do. You're handling these curveballs very well, Mark, I want to tell you.
I'm trying.
You're doing very well. Bill's giving you some real baseball
questions. I'm giving them
questions
to him, Marty.
Yeah, you are. Good baseball questions. All right. Did you mentioned the Seattle game, and I don't know if folks can tune in on the archive to Rick Riz's call in the eighth inning when the Mariners take the lead. I think it's a Hall of Fame call from a great broadcaster. Let's talk Seattle a little bit because, heck, if they win today, 91-71, if they get a break from the Yankees or Boston, they're in a playoff game.
Yeah, it's crazy. They are 15th in the American League in batting average, 14th in OPS. They are 11th in runs scored. They are 8th in ERA. They have basically the same wins above replacement in total as the Marlins, but here they are essentially because of games like yesterday and games like opening day, which essentially foreshadowed their entire season, being way behind, coming back, winning a game that was really like a 0% chance to win. They've stolen a lot of games this year. They don't necessarily have a lot of superstars. They have some good players. They have very low batting averages. I think they were fortunate to win yesterday because they almost coughed it up. But I think, give me a Seattle Toronto scenario of some sort. I think would be really cool. I'm definitely I would like to see the Mariners win today just because I think it would make. I'm rooting today for the best possible baseball series that we could get, and Seattle winning would be one of the best.
What do you think about Tampa Bay and the Yankees? I mean, Tampa Bay. You know, they're in. They've won 100 games. Is it low yesterday? 33 homers, 39 on the year. Zunino, 33. And, look, they can knock the Yankees for a loop today if they beat them. And they've got Michael Wacha going against Talion, whose ankle is killing them.
Yeah, the Yankees, speaking of tight, have been tight the last couple of days. And they've been – it really fits the way that their season has gone, that they've been streaky all year. And they hit a little bad patch here these last two games. I'm curious to see if there's carryover. Tampa doesn't really have anything to play for today other than to try and knock the Yankees out. The thing that you get out of Tampa, though, is that their lineup is so deep. I think it was that they've set the record for biggest contribution, most players with at least one win above replacement this year. And that's everyone from Wander Franco to Joey Wendell. They don't necessarily have super duper stars either, but they have their nine are in some are better than your nine for just about every matchup in the majors other than maybe the Dodgers.
Hey, Mark, from 60 games to 162 games, so many things have happened in this MLB season. What do you think are the biggest takeaways in this season, and what are the big points that you'll remember from this season?
So if I'm looking ahead, the biggest thing I want is for MLB to clean up the 3-hour, 10-minute average time of game. That's the one that has bugged me a little bit. But if I'm going to look on the field and I'm going to look at positives, I think the Ohtani season should be heralded as an all-time accomplishment. I think you have a number of other players, whether they be Vlad or Fernando Tatis Jr., that you want to showcase as much as possible. And one of the best things for baseball this year was that White Sox-Yankees game at the cornfield. Mm-hmm. And it would be really cool if there were four or five showcase games over the course of a season where you could put the best of what the game has on display. Because sometimes we get caught up in the things that annoy, like the 3-hour and 10-minute average time of game and all these. The situation right now in baseball where you have these super haves and these super have-nots, where like the Diamondbacks and the Pirates and the Texas Rangers and the Orioles are just not really incentivized to be competitive this year, and that's frustrating. But other than that, like your typical things, you get a Seattle type story every year, which is really cool. You get dominant teams. You get the surprises. One of the biggest of all, certainly, is San Francisco. You get a few races. I think I would have liked to have had like the NL East come down to today as well, but can't get everything. I would have liked a couple more closer division races, but I'll take what I got in game 162.
Boy, well, what a season this has been. Where do you stand on the MVP question? Should the player come from a winning team, or is it the most valuable player on a team that maybe wins 75 games? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, so it's hard to ignore Juan Soto's season. 1,005 OPS. He's going to hit 30 home runs, 467 on base. I think he's legit. I think that I know that not everyone's going to agree with this, but I think that timing matters, and that would give me a reason to vote for someone like Goldschmidt because he has closed the year incredibly strong. He basically did his Goldschmidt, I'm going to hit 500 for a month thing, and crushed the Dodgers and the Giants. I don't know that I would give it to a Dodger or a Giant just because there's so much depth on those teams. I think I would be more inclined to give it to either a player from a losing team, Soto, or a Goldschmidt, who like they really had to work to get to the postseason. It wouldn't bother me if he won it. Austin Riley would be another. Although when you get past Soto, that Riley, Goldschmidt, Crawford, Tyler O'Neill, Corbin Burns, Zach Wheeler mix, I think is pretty close. I don't think there's necessarily a wrong vote in that. And then I didn't even say Tatis and Harper. And I think Tatis and Harper, I think if out of all the names I said, if any of those guys get it, I wouldn't complain.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. A couple of things. One, Soto's walked 144 times, and that's incredible to me.
Yep.
And the other thing is that Frank Thomas, the great Hall of Famer, bought the cornfield.
Yes.
I think he's going to – does he own the cornfield now? Is that what he bought?
I think he bought – what did he buy? I wasn't sure if he bought that or the stadium, but it certainly puts a nice name behind it.
Really? All right. Bill, anything further for Mark? We'll let him go.
I just got one more question, Marty, for Mark. Okay, Mark, don't look at your computer. Look at that crystal ball you have on your desk and tell me what your outcome is for the Giants today as well as the AL wild card.
Okay. I think the Giants win today. I think that the Red Sox win today. And I think that the Yankees win today. And it's not as exciting as everyone makes it out to be. And we got nothing tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be it. That's zero for tomorrow. All right. Yeah. I think the Yankees are going to lose today. I think Boston's got a good chance to win with Chris Sale against a pitcher I've never heard of. So I think that Seattle wins today and Toronto. So I think we've got three teams for tomorrow, and I think the Giants win today. So I'm going to have dinner at Original Joe's. All right. I like it. Mark, thanks so much. As always, a great season with you, and hopefully things will go well, and we'll be talking to you next Saturday before the first second NLDS game. So I appreciate
thanks, Mark.
You got- You got it. I'm sorry I picked nine guys for an LMVP, but that's kind of the way it goes. Yeah.
That's all right. You mentioned the right one, and that's the shortstop
that's
for
right.
the Giants, so that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good afternoon. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. That's Mark Simon. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark of Sports Info Solutions. Bill, this is quite a day coming up.
I tell you what, Marty, yesterday's game, I mean, we went through it. You went through it this morning. There was so many little move here or move here or a pitch here, like I kept talking about Garcia last night with the changeup up, you know, went to his third best pitch. That just upset me. You know, just different things happened yesterday. And five hits. That's the only thing that I'm a little puzzled about. Five hits. That's all the offense had yesterday. So today they're going to have to swing the bat. They have to get on this guy early and score a lot of runs and make it an easy game for him instead of a stress game as we get into the final, you know, last three innings of a game when you really, what are you going to do in the final three innings, Marty? That's going to be the question is coming out of that bullpen.
Well, you started that game where Joe Morgan hit the home run, and you know what the pressure is of that Sunday game. So this is going to be something. This will be something today. All right, we'll take a break. Bill and I'll chat with the professor, Ron Wotus, on his last day as an active coach for the San Francisco Giants in the regular season. We've got quite a month ahead of us. I think it's going to go the distance. All right, more coming up. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.